Startups get the party, startups get the party started. Startups get the party, startups get the party started. You want tech and tacos, tacos and tech, you know we got it.
Tacos and tech is on smash, border green, guacamole. Keep accountants counting beans, contador cuentan frijoles. Founders trying to raise some queso, la vida San Diego. School of rappy, rapping fire, tortillas round jalapenos. In these modern times of craft beer and coffee, my coding yoga posse, fold the body, origami. We be surfing Coronado, eating tacos el gordo. The tacos stand in puesto, lucha libre and sombrero. Gotta shout out Tecos Angels by the ocean, watch the sunset. La Jolla Shores, entrepreneurs trying to get funded. When San Diego Startup Week is popping in the summer, Oceanside to Tijuana, SD be full of hustlers. From couch surfing to penthouses right on the beach, tech leaders who believe stars are within reach. We interviewing founders who be shooting for the moon. Hashtag SD Techos with your host Neil Bloom.
Welcome to the Tacos and Tech Podcast, where we discover cutting-edge San Diego technologies and the builders making it happen. I'm your host, Neil Bloom, San Diego's tech ambassador, and together, we're going to put a face to the name of today's tech leaders with our own blend of local lifestyle.
Startups get the party, startups get the party started. Startups get the party, startups get the party started.
I want to take a moment to thank our friends at Cox Business, who have enabled us to tell these amazing stories of local leaders, technologists, founders, and funders. Cox is actually a 121-year-old family-run business that thinks in terms of decades in building community, a lot like we do in building our startup ecosystem. For years, the local Cox Business team has helped us grow through partnering at San Diego Startup Week, SD Quick Pitch, and celebrating our local technical leaders at the Top Tech Awards. The Top Tech Awards are happening later this year, but applications are open now to submit for your favorite CTO, CIO, or VP of engineering to be recognized as a top tech leader. You can apply now at toptechawards.com. Thanks again to Cox Business. Hey, and welcome back to the Tacos and Tech Podcast, virtual edition in these Corona times. I'm your host, Neil Bloom, and I am joined by Teal and Tristan Cooper, brother and sister duo, co-founders of Vendy Bean. Hey guys, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having us.
How you guys doing?
Good. As good as we could do in these times.
All things considered, yeah. Well, it's good to hear you guys' voices. I've poured many a coffees from Vendy Bean for quite a while, in so many different venues around San Diego. So it's very excited to now. I'm very excited to now get to know the story of how it came to be and how's it going in these times. Do you guys want to give a high level? Teal, you want to give a high level overview of what Vendy Bean is?
Yeah, of course. So Vendy Bean is a barista at the touch of a button. We modernize the outdated coffee vending machine. So we partner with all local craft coffee roasters and feature them through our sleek machine that grinds the beans to cup and whips up anything from a coconut milk mocha, French vanilla latte, matcha, you name it. There's something for everyone. And we have two models. We place them in like college campuses and hospitals and high foot traffic locations. And then we also do the corporate side where companies can pay a monthly subscription for complimentary coffee for their employees to boost office culture and productivity.
And it certainly does that, man. I've had it in a number of co-working spaces. Like it's like the central spot of the kitchen. Like people love themselves some Vendy Bean. So congrats on getting that brand out there more than just a good product of coffee.
Thank you. Yeah, we try to make it like the new water cooler, which, you know, we were kind of new to that term. Now we know, you know, what that word means.
Yeah, awesome. Well, I want to get to know you, each of you individually, because obviously you grew up together, and you had your own paths, and then you joined forces together again. Tristan, where did you guys grow up?
Yeah, so we grew up in a suburb of Dallas called Plano, Texas. We're both born in Dallas and raised there. And we both actually went to the same high school as well in Parish Episcopal. And then after we both graduated, we ended up going our separate ways. And I ended up going to UT in Austin. And then Teal went and came to San Diego and went to SCSU. So.
Okay. Are you guys twins or who's older?
No, I'm older. Everyone thinks he's older though.
Yeah.
Older. I'm not older.
That's awesome. Tia, why SDSU of all places from Dallas?
Yeah, so our mom's from LA, and my dad immigrated to LA and they moved to Dallas. So we grew up coming to Southern California all the time. A lot of family lives in LA. So I loved it there and ended up visiting SDSU with a friend and just fell in love with it and was fortunate enough to go to SDSU.
Go Aztecs. What a year for basketball.
I know.
And Tristan, you stayed local?
Yeah. Yeah, I stayed pretty close to home, only like a 3-hour drive. Did the complete opposite move than what Teal did, but I loved UT, so it was good times.
Austin's got to be a pretty fun place to go to school too.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's a great city. If you have never been, I completely recommend you going to check it out. Not even on a big weekend, just to go and explore the city. It's amazing food. Great nightlife, great live music as well. Just a great overall city.
From what I understand, they like to compete in the taco scene, but they are known. It's known for the breakfast tacos, right? That's like the claim to fame of Austin.
It's 100% the claim to fame. Yeah, it's definitely more breakfast taco scene. You have more of a Tex-Mex kind of vibe in Austin and just in Texas in general. And then in San Diego, I learned to love the seafood Mexican tacos.
Oh,
that's what I found here.
Can't compete on that. That's for sure.
100% agree.
So, Teal, you want to take us through a little bit like post-college life and how you found yourself starting this together?
Yeah. So actually this was during college. So my junior year at SDSU, I studied abroad and Tristan was a freshman at the time. And he called me studying for finals at 12 a.m. at the library with, you know, the complaint that there was no coffee anywhere in sight and that he was crashing. And he had this idea that came to him to create a high quality coffee vending solution for college campuses. And he even had like the name Bendy Bean over the phone. And when he called me at the time, I was studying in Florence and it was like a light bulb moment because at my campus, there was a coffee vending machine that all the students would use. But of course, I didn't think anything of it. I was just being a consumer. So I saw it kind of, you know, in action and how successful it was with the students there. But when he called with the idea, it was kind of like, you know, we have to do this type of thing. And so, yeah, when I came back from abroad, my senior year, we ended up launching the beta, which was a total flop. I mean, the machine itself was not high quality at all. Like the coffee that that was dispensed from it was very low quality, but the idea and the vision was there. So we ended up launching at an apartment complex by SDSU called Boulevard 63. And we put it in like the Aztec newspaper. We totally promoted the whole thing, the whole shindig. And I mean, it was a total flop. And then so we relaunched a year later with the product we have now.
Interesting. So do you guys, I mean, was there family background in coffee or like kiosks or anything? Like how'd you just decide to just jump into this?
I mean, my parents, my mom was a big Folgers drinker and my dad, I mean, to be honest, like they liked their coffee, but they didn't like the high end, high craft coffee scene. So it wasn't like, I guess, ingrained in us from our parents. I guess we just started to like coffee ourselves down the line. When we moved out into college, we started seeing more of the local craft coffee scene and the local stores as well, not including like Starbucks. So the more high quality coffee scene, I think we both came to love it. And she also loved it in Italy. I know that for sure, because Italian coffee is pretty amazing as well.
Yeah, totally. Definitely.
But in Italy and especially like a Folgers or any of those are not in the kiosk form. Like you have to educate people. What was that initial launch like?
So before when we were getting into the whole vending world, I mean, I was calling different manufacturers and just picking their brain. I mean, I was going into my senior year and I was just super naive at the time looking back, but I was just call all these manufacturers asking them thousands of questions. And I actually applied to be like a maintenance driver because I wanted to learn the industry from like the ground up, but they wanted me to be in the sales position. So I couldn't do that. I was in school. And so that didn't work out, but we ended up driving to a manufacturer out in LA and learned about this one machine and kind of did, you know, a little training on it. And our dad gave us a loan for that first machine and kind of taught ourselves how it worked, the process, the route system, everything about the vending world. We kind of just figured it out on our own and then realized how and why it's so flawed. I mean, the whole industry is very archaic. So through that whole experience, even though it was a flop, it definitely like wasn't a failure because we learned so much and learned, you know, how to improve, you know, and get to where we are today for sure. Cause it was a huge learning curve.
Just so the, on the flop, like what was it the quality specifically or what else didn't work?
The machine, I mean, was horrible. I mean, there was, it didn't grind the beans. It was a filtration system and it just broke down every 2 seconds. Like I remember being in college and driving to this machine and trying to fix it. I would FaceTime, one of these technicians that helped install the machine and I would bring my tools and he would walk me through how to fix certain issues. And it was a very much of like learning as you go type of situation and learning just by hands-on experience. But yeah, the machine itself was a big issue. And I think that the product we were using, I think it came down number one to the machine, but the product and you know, everything else definitely didn't line up, but we saw the branding was there and like the vision for the need, I think, was there too.
Gotcha. I want to back up just a little bit around like you guys becoming co-founders together. Tristan, you want to talk about a little bit how like how you decided that you'd be good business partners beyond siblings?
Yeah, of course. So when the idea came to me, I mean, the first person I called was my sister, just to like give her the idea and like see what her thoughts were. Give me like, play devil's advocate and let me know where she was coming from on the whole idea. And when she fell in love with it, we kind of just went from there. We didn't really discuss the co-founding situation. We kind of just started running with the idea together and it just really worked out from there. We know our strengths. Teal's more of sales, marketing. She's great at networking in the front end and I'm more of the back end, like helping to build the foundation and value chain system, supply chain management. And we decided and through the 3 years figured that we made a great team. But there was never a discussion saying like, let's do this together. It just kind of happened, which was kind of crazy now looking back on it.
That's pretty awesome. So how long has it been since you actually like started it?
So the phone call happened, I want to say in like March of 2015. We made the LLC really prematurely, I believe in like end of 2015. And we launched that first beta in, I guess, was it March 2016? And then once that failed, we went into R&D and had to find another beta. So that whole process took about a year and we relaunched in March of 2017. And then from there, I mean, we realized we had the product, we had the brand, we had the foundation that we were ready to do to scale and it kind of just took off.
That's awesome. Teal, I know you said you started it out like just doing like the manufacturing or not manufacturing runs, like doing the runs to like clean machines and for, and I imagine you did that on your own machines too. Like what was that like? And do you still do some of that now?
Yeah, the route. So yeah, we definitely, in the beginning we were doing everything. So every weekend I'd be, you know, cleaning and restocking these machines for hours a day. And I thought it was pretty therapeutic and it was, I put some headphones in and just like knocked it out. But I think it was really important for us to know the whole, like from the ground up, how the company works. And so when we did get to the point of hiring people, we were able to be like, yeah, we did this. We understand, you know, what this role entails and how every single piece of the company works from, you know, the ground up. But yeah, it was definitely, those were the days of doing the routes. Now we have luck in the machine.
You've got some machines in some pretty cool places, a lot of co-working spaces, but also some big corporates. I know Cox Business at some point took a bunch. Like, how does that feel to have your guys' machines and logos like in where people work? What was that feeling like?
It's super cool. It's definitely, it feels like a validation to your product when a big name, like we're in HP as well and Cox and some larger corporations as well that have that brand and have that backing of like, I guess people trust their brands and for us to be in there, it's a validating experience for our company. It like kind of just puts it all to perspective. And I think we landed our first, I feel like it took about a year to a year and a half to land a company like Cox from when we started or from when we relaunched in 2017. So it took some time and a lot of a lot of waiting, but once it happened, it was an amazing feeling.
What's both of your favorite coffee out of your machine?
Whew, it's changed. So mine started out as the Cortado, which is still amazing, but I really like the Americano now. That's probably what I go to at all times.
Yeah, I think I go back and forth between the coconut mocha and the coconut milk Cortado.
Okay.
Alternate. Awesome.
My go-to is anything with coconut first.
Yeah, for sure.
And then the decaf cappuccino works for me as well. Well, curious to know also, like obviously it's tough times what's going on with coronavirus. We're recording this in early April. It's going to go live probably a few weeks from now, but for all intents and purposes, like what's it been like for you guys to have empty office spaces, obviously no refills? Like, what are you able to do with the business right now?
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, it kind of was a shock to us. Like when everything was happening, we didn't realize the effects it was going to have on our company immediately, but slowly it kind of showed that it was going to be pretty drastic for the next couple of, I guess, month or two until this all blows over. But it's every place. So I guess most of our clients are offices, and that's about 70% of our business and cash flow. The other 30% is hospitals, college campuses, and large Class A, Class B office buildings. So when you look at kind of our market and target market, the only places that are still open are hospitals. So our cash flow definitely took a hit during these times, but we were definitely well prepared for not this, but a situation to happen that was similar to this. So we were lucky, but it's definitely harsh times because we were, as Teal and me talked about, we were supposed to launch LA in April. April 1st. So we had a lot of momentum and we were on this really nice growth path for 2020, and it kind of just took a drastic halt all of a sudden in like mid-March time. So that was hard to grasp, but we're taking it day by day now for sure.
You guys taking advantage of any of these like PPP loans or anything or any of the other stuff that you've seen?
Yeah, we've been applying for everything. The bills that have been passed are pretty amazing for small businesses, and we're trying to take full advantage of all of those. So the PPP, the disaster loan, I think San Diego even passed one. It was like a $10,000 to $20,000. I think it was a short term small interest loan or possibly a grant as well. So all of those, you know, they're all amazing terms and they're great for small businesses. So I feel like every small business should be applying for them, not just us.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad you guys are utilizing them. We'll get through this. That's for sure. And when we do get out, you guys have some favorite places you're going to go to, even just some favorite hobbies. Like what's a favorite meal you're going to go have first?
I think my first stop would be Shino Sushi. Have you been there?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So good.
Oh yeah.
And they're not open for takeout right now, which is a huge bummer. But yeah, I'm really craving Shino Sushi.
Tristan, how about you?
I mean, she stole mine. That's like our spot. We when we're celebrating like some sort of goal we hit, we go to Shino to celebrate. So I mean, that's the spot. I completely agree. That's where I'm going to go.
This is the Tacos and Tech podcast. We got to know about your taco habits. Do you have favorite taco spots? Both of you?
For sure. Taco Stand in La Jolla, I think that's my go-to for burritos, but I do love their tacos too. And also I love Oscar's spicy shrimp taco.
Yes.
And I know you have a different one, a different fave.
Mine is definitely Oscar's spicy shrimp tacos. Loved it ever since Teal showed me it in also there's a place, I forget, it's called Mimi's Tacos in PB. Great tacos. Great small street tacos as well. But those two are definitely my favorite. Teal showed me Oscar's spicy shrimp tacos back when she was in college. And ever since then, I like would try to come to San Diego just to get those tacos because they're so good. So
well, One, I hope they find a way to start delivering all those. But if not, we'll be there to support them immediately as soon as we get out of here. That's for sure. Are you guys active on social at all? Is there a good place to find you, both of you, and Vendy Bean Brand?
Yeah, definitely. Vendy Bean is just at Vendy Bean on Instagram and Facebook. And for me, I'm teal.cooper on Instagram, and LinkedIn is just Teal Cooper. And I think that's the only two I'm really currently on. Tristan, what are yours?
Yeah, mine are just Instagram, Tristan Coop, and then same with LinkedIn, Tristan Cooper. But Teal's definitely lying. She's an avid TikToker nowadays the free time. So
my new thing.
been loving that.
In these quarantine times.
A quarantine guilty pleasure.
Yes. All right. We'll make sure that people go find your dances.
Oh, God.
Well, guys, really appreciate you taking the time with us. We're really hoping that we all get back to our coffee habits soon to enjoy some tasty treats. Stay safe, stay healthy, and thanks so much for being on.
Awesome. Thanks for having us, Neil. We appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you, Neil.
Thanks for joining us on the Tacos and Tech podcast with Neil Bloom. Thanks again to Cox Business for helping make this possible by expanding the reach of the San Diego Tech ecosystem. Big shout out to School of Rap for our rad intro music. And thanks as well to Nest Podcast Network, where we are recording live inside their studio at Nest Coworking in Bankers Hill. You can find Neil Bloom on Twitter at Neil Bloom, as well as Fresh Brewed Tech and Tacos and Tech Pod on Twitter too.
Get the party started. You want tech and tacos, tacos and tech. You know we got it. Startups, get the party. Startups, get the party started. Startups, get the party. Startups, get the party started. Startups,